Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
He's with us every day at 4 o'clock here with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. The professor, John Clayton, is here. And, John, I can't believe it's over. It is over, but I thought they were going to pull off the magic in typical Seahawks fashion, get buried in the first half. Russell Wilson just does his thing in the second. They get the ball. I had no doubts if they got the ball back, they were going to score. Were you of that belief?
I thought they had a chance, but, I mean, you still think that the margin of error on those things are so tough, you know, because, and you've seen it particularly at the end of last year, how they, you know, would mount a thing. It's like, okay, so now you got to score in the next two or three drives, and they would fall one play short. But, you know, this year they were much closer. They were much better. But, yeah, it ends quick, and that's the tough part. I mean, you figured, okay, so 1 o'clock, player availability in the locker room, final exit interviews with the media, 3 o'clock peak here. And now it's just shut down until you get to the combine. And so it's amazing how quickly it ends. But yeah, I mean, you know, it shows a lot how much it is, because here's Russell Wilson. He's fourth string running back, fourth string tight end, third string guard. He's out there with, you know, Dwayne Brown banged up, you know, Joey Hunt banged up. You know, just a horrible situation, but he's able to make it work. And so I think that bodes better for next year, in the sense that this now kind of mirrors the 2012 season, his rookie year. Goes to Washington, wins the game against RG3. RG3 gets the knee injury and never was the same after that. And then they go to Atlanta and they almost pull that game out, but then Matt Ryan gets the comeback and wins. So yeah, it's a tough one to lose, but again, this season they advanced.
I asked Dave this question a few minutes ago. I want to get your thought. Biggest position of priority, whether we're talking draft or free agency, what is it?
Oh, it's the defensive line. I mean, because now you got so many uncertain things. I mean, Devin Clowney's up. You've got, Quentin Jefferson coming off the broken foot. His contract's up. You know, Ziggy Ansah not expected to be back. What do you do with Jaron Reed? I mean, you look at all that transition that's there. Al Woods, his contract is up. I mean, there's so many guys in the defensive line. But I think the key priority is everybody saying Jadeveon Clowney needs to be re-signed.
Hey, John, tell us about the sort of attitude when you were talking. You went into the locker room after the game, and guys seemed grateful and reflective. Were they still angry? How would you, because I know you talked to a lot of different players.
Yeah, last year they were more angry than I think anything else. This year, I think that this team is so close. I think that's one of the underestimated things about this team. This might be the closest team-wise that they've had with their team. And again, I'm not saying they're better. Cobbs, obviously not. They haven't won a Super Bowl. They didn't get past the divisional round. But how tight is this team? And that's the way you get the feeling, because, you know, you talk to Quandre Diggs, who comes over here from Detroit. He talks about how much he likes it here, how, you know, because he had to suffer through some injuries and fight through that. And, you know, he, you know, is helping the team out with picking out plays that Aaron Rodgers was going to do as the game was going on. I mean, Dwayne Brown playing with a knee injury after 2.5 weeks after surgery. You got Jadeveon Clowney fighting through what is going to be a core surgery, just being wanting out there to play. And you notice none of the guys wanted to come off the field, even though they were hurt. I mean, Joey Hunt, I mean, he's out there with a dislocated finger, and I turned to him and I said, how bad was the finger? He says, it popped out just about every time I snapped the ball. I mean, and he also had a fibula injury too. I mean, that's how tight this team is, because they all want to play for each other. And you can see, were they angry? No. Were they disappointed? Sure. But I think you can see that they know there's enough resolve in this team that they can try to bounce back.
I saw kind of a funny scene when Joey was over there trying to test his finger out, and he was snapping and he was grabbing the trainers to see if his finger was going to, you know, dislocate while he grabbed the trainer's jacket. And so he figured it out, and then he walked over. I was watching him through my binoculars. He walks over, and so the offensive line all sit, you know, like left tackle, left guard, center, right tackle, right guard, right tackle. And so Roos was sitting in the middle. And so you could see Joey go over there, say something to Roos. Roos gets up, and he turns around and sits down back in there. It was like, you know, I'm not going to be taken off this field, man. And that's the kind of spirit they had this year. And I know a lot of people are asking about, you know, going forward on fourth down and the run defense and this and that and the other. But the one thing you have to say is that this team had a lot of spirit, a lot of guts, and they played for each other.
They did, and that's what I think is remarkable about this team. And you talk about that transition last year, where they take the guys out like Michael Bennett and Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas not re-signed, and it's saying, man, they're letting a lot of talent go, and they did, but it did create a better locker room. Now, again, the locker room from 2013 to 2016 was really good, too, because, again, you had such high-profile alpha male guys that played for each other and liked to be there, but after a while, you had some strains in the relationship, strains with the defensive guys against maybe Russell Wilson and all that stuff. I mean, certainly some things against the coaches and all that. I mean, it was getting to a point where they needed to do something. They did it, and the team was together last year. They're more together this year, and I still think this team is growing and advancing.
All right, John, with Clowney being a free agent, I heard you yesterday talking about it where you feel like he's going to go to a 4-3 team, or maybe he'll stay here in Seattle. He wants to go to a contender. And so I was just sitting there thinking, okay, well, how many 4-3 teams are there versus 3-4 teams? What is Seattle up against in free agency? And I'll give you the one team I'm most concerned about, although, Professor, I must admit I'm worried you're going to say, well, Jim, Carolina has a 3-4 defense. But I think there might be a part of him that wants to go home, closer to home, and I worry a little bit about the Panthers.
No, I would agree. I think that that's one where, because I know I was saying that this morning, because, just trying to think through it, and of course, when you're driving 4 hours from Green Bay to the O'Hare Airport, and then you're waiting to catch a 4 o'clock flight after doing the show, you have some time to think, and of course, even though I was exhausted mentally and physically, I started to think, okay, so where's this going to go? Because I did exactly the same thing. Okay, you got about 15 4-3 teams in the league, and if he's not going to go to a team that's losing, okay, now I know Carolina had a losing season, Atlanta had a losing season. I think they're the main two competitors. And you're right, Carolina's in the mix, because I would have to think there's a good chance they'll go back to a 4-3 defense because they've got 4-3 personnel. I don't think, are a 3-4. And if that's the case, you got an owner who's paid $8.5 million for a coach. I mean, he's probably been willing to pay top dollar. And you're right, the fact that he's at home is kind of like Bruce Irvin when he was available after being cut by San Francisco, going back to Atlanta, as opposed to coming here to Seattle. But that, I think, is the interesting competition. And so where I was looking at it, okay, and this is why, number one, if you're listening, Jadeveon, don't go to a 3-4, because a 3-4, you're better in a 4-3. Number two, you're worth more in a 4-3, because the highest paid outside linebacker, I know it's Khalil Mack, but with you have to have an MVP type season to get the $23 million. So now you only have a couple other guys in the 20s. I mean, you got DeMarcus Lawrence, and you've got right now, Kenny. I mean, you got certainly Clark over in San Francisco, Frank Clark. But I'd have to think right now that you might be able to get him for $19 to $20 million if he likes it here, and he likes it here. And so now if that's going to be topped by something that is put together, remember, it's going to be tough for Carolina to do it because they're already paying guys. They're paying Mario Addison. I think his contract's up, but they're paying Kawan Short. They're paying a bunch of guys, and so they may not have the cap room and the ability to do it where Seattle does. I think they have a reasonable chance of doing it, unless he just wants to go for a money and go to a bad 3-4 team.
John, as far as Marshawn Lynch and his future go, do you think he's got one in the league, and do you think Seattle wants him back? Would you want him back?
I don't think he's going to be back. I mean, let's put it this way. I mean, it's going to be tough because, the Raiders moved out of Oakland, and I say that on a day that now we find out the roof is slow in getting fixed there, and so it may be a struggle for them to be able to get something done by the start of August.
The roof in Vegas?
In Vegas, yeah. So it's like, but if that's the case, and then, he can't go serving, tequila in the Raider parking lot, so because he loses the Raiders there, and I just don't see, he can maybe come back at the minimum just to do something, but is it really worth it? Because say what you want, as many good things as he did, and the fact that he came back was fantastic, but best he's going to do is 3.2, 3.3 yards a carry, and that's not going to be good enough.
John, have you been taking care of your mentals and your chicken?
It's like I had to figure out what my chicken was first.
I hadn't heard that one before.
I never heard that either. I mean, I had to be explained to me
that's
that
money,
the chicken,
right?
Is money. Yeah.
How about your mentals?
My mentals? I don't know. What are the mentals?
Just, your attitude, whatnot.
I don't know. I think I got a good
attitude. You got a good attitude.
Your mentals, right? Are in good shape.
Clayton's good with his mentals.
Which is very important.
Yeah. All right, John, do you think, it's just asking you to predict, I guess, but, you hear lots of things. What, as far as coaching changes for the Seahawks. Somebody was just texting in saying, fire the trainers, and, you know, that
they
whole
thing.
They
just did that last year.
That's exactly what I told them. I'm like, yeah, they just did that. And
how'd
you know,
that one work for everybody?
Well, and the thing is, you know, you look at the injuries, and, you know, a lot of it is, I don't know if you agree with this. Is it bad luck?
Yeah.
To me, it's bad luck. You know, if you're a team that
to
just,
do what?
When you get injuries that just mount up.
You know, Achilles and ACL injuries, I mean, you can't prevent. I mean, it's not training. I mean, maybe you can say in the off season didn't do enough to, you know, work on the tendons and all that stuff. But that's just bad luck. I mean,
it's more the soft tissue injuries, yeah, when you're looking at a training staff, right?
Right, exactly. But again, it's like if you get a meniscus injury like Dwayne Brown, that's not on the trainers. That's bad luck. If you get the ACLs and the Achilles, that's bad luck.
Well, and I know for me, I mean, I would say one thing. If you're like planting and all of a sudden, oh, your ACL blows out, well, you know, maybe, but, you know, a lot of times it's you just get plowed into. Mm-hmm. And that was always the case with me. And maybe I could have, there were guys that played differently than I did, but, you know, if you have, you know, you're running down the field and a guy just falls into your knee or whatever, you know, that's not something that the training staff can prevent. So, but, you know, what about as far as coaching and things like that with the Seahawks? You know, whether it's, I know they just hired weight coaches. They put a lot of time and money into that. That to me does not make sense to me. But what about coaching changes, maybe subtle ones?
Like anything else, there's always going to be something, you know, some little adjustment or something like that. But, you know, I guess the big question is all the people that won Ken Norton Jr. over there and out of there. You go talk to Bobby Wagner. You go talk to Michael Kendricks. You go talk to KJ Wright. And it's like, you want to take him away? You're going to get punched in the mouth because it's like, yeah, it was like he means so much. And
well,
you know,
John, wait a minute. Let me interrupt you. How does he mean so much? And even if he does, they're ranked 26th in the league. So is he really doing that good of a job?
Do you really want to get punched in the mouth?
Well, I've been punched in the mouth before, John.
And threatened many times, John.
At the Whistle Stop Tavern, I ended up on the sidewalk. It didn't feel very good.
The Whistle Stop. You out.
I was a guy that was just another patron at the bar that was telling me to leave. And
didn't feel very good.
Yeah.
Wow.
What did you do to him, Jim? That's what I wanted.
Told him to mind his own business.
Well, the bartender was throwing us out. We were at Long Acres. We had a day where we were drinking too many Black Russians, and the bartender asked us to leave because we had popcorn on the pool table, and we were on our way out. And the guy said, hey, did you hear the bartender? He told you to leave. And I was like, hey, it's none of your business, man. And then he just popped me one.
So, wow.
And it didn't feel very good.
No, I just don't get the, you know, okay, well, so what if Bobby Wagner likes Ken Norton? I mean, can't you just show him the stats and go, hey, Bobby, what about this?
Well, I just went through this thing about chemistry on the team, and the chemistry on the team is good, and it's like that would create a negative vibe. Now, I'm not saying that Pete isn't going to make a change, but I don't necessarily think there is a need for a change. Say what you want about Ken Norton Jr. He was more creative in the stuff this year because he had to throw in more blitzes than anything else. And I think that you can see, you know, the young safeties, you know, the Marquise Blairs, Lano Hills, and even early in the season, Tedrick Thompson, you know, they made mistakes. And then all of a sudden, here comes Quandre Diggs, and they didn't make mistakes. I mean, things work better. I mean, certainly the problems that, you know, Trey Flowers had like last year, he had like a Shaquille Griffin type year. I think that, but, you know, he can try to fix that up, and they'll bring in competition to challenge him. But, you know, I still think that, they gave up too many yards because of the fact they had no pass rush. They had to become a bend but don't break defense, and that's not Pete Carroll. And can you blame if you don't get a pass rush on the defensive line, how can you run the defense it is normally run here? So Ken Norton Jr. was creative. They bend. They still won 11 games, 12 games if you include the playoffs, and, you know, almost won two more games, San Francisco and the game on Sunday. So it's like, I don't think there's a need for a change. Dave, do you agree?
Yeah, no, I don't think anything. Look, here's the thing I always think is, yeah, you're right. Norton had to kind of change things and adapt, but also it's Pete's defense. And really, when I look at that, I look at the relationship between Pete and Ken Norton. And Ken, I remember him one time saying, yeah, Pete, he's my man. You know, he's my guy. I don't want to sound like a bromance or anything, but they love each other. They really do. And, you know, look, that Pete, that's his defense. And I find it very hard to believe that Ken Norton was sitting in drawing up defenses and game plans and stuff without Pete Carroll. You know, I think he's part of it. So, you know, I mean, I guess it's as much on Pete. I mean, if he saw something that was wrong, but, you know, I think you would, You would fire him if there was a lack of chemistry.
Right.
And, you know, what you're describing, John. But, you know, the other thing I wanted to ask you is, what about guys that are leaving for a good reason? And, you know, somebody texted in, what about Schottenheimer? What about guys that might possibly get hired or lured away?
Well, I don't think anybody right now, if they're all under contract, then I don't know if there's any coach that's not under contract, then, you know, if they can only be lured away if Seattle would allow them to be lured away, because you can't make a lateral move. You can't make even a move for promotion unless it's going to be a head coach. There's already been five head coaches firing. So, you know, the staff is what the staff is. And so, you know, unless, you know, Pete wants to or allow to make a change, then it may be minimal. But again, you got 27 coaches. And so with that in mind, you figure, you know, all 27 might not be back for whatever reason, but, you know, so there'll be some changes, but we'll see how they get changed. But, you know, the defensive line coach is sensational.
Yeah.
You know that, you know, you
Clint
got
hurt. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I mean, say what you want. It's like, okay, they went with a three linebacker base defense the entire season, and that was more on the linebackers. And what's Ken Norton's specialty? The linebackers. I mean, you saw the two safeties play well at the end of the year, Diggs and McDougal, and you saw, you know, you got a Pro Bowl season out of Shaquille Griffin. You know, you just got to tighten things up at the slot. You got to tighten things up at the with Trey Flowers, and then you got to cut some of the things over. And again, like most teams, they had trouble. Two troubles. They had troubles against mobile quarterbacks. They've got to fix that up, like every team in the league. And they had troubles against tight ends. I mean, you know, 90 plus catches for over 1,000 yards on tight ends. They got to tighten that up.
Hey, John, one other guy on the defense I want to ask you about. I've asked you about him before, and that's Jaron Reed. Listen to what Pete Carroll says about him, and then I want to get your response.
He never really got started, you know, rushing the passer like he was flying last year and wasn't able to be as productive, you know, just numbers-wise. He's still a really good football player and means a lot to this team and really tough and, you know, a terrific player, all-around player. But the numbers, you know, he had 10.5 sacks last year that they didn't, you know, he couldn't get him going that this year. I think that has to do with, because he's an inside guy, plays like he plays, he needs the support around him to open up the rush lanes and things like that, and we weren't able to help him enough.
So what do you think that means to his future? I've been peppering Dave with questions about him because I just don't hear his name called. I don't see him really pop on the screen. I was really disappointed with what he did this year. I didn't expect 10.5 sacks because I don't think that's realistic for an interior lineman, yet I thought he'd be more than what he was, even having missed the six games. What is your takeaway from his season, and do you think they make a big concerted effort to bring him back?
Well, they can make a concerted effort, but again, at what price? Because I think that probably in his mind with the 10.5 sack season, you know, he's thinking in the $14 to $16 million range, and me, I'm thinking half that, you know, $8 to $9 million, and that may not satisfy him. And again, it comes down to what is your success in keeping Jadeveon Clowney? Because I think what you can see, one of the successes, and this is not knocking Reed at all. He had a great year last year. He was an okay year this year in the 10 games that he was there. But, you know, Frank Clark opened up things, just like Pete's kind of alluding to, that allowed Reed to get the 10.5 sacks. Okay, so that didn't happen. I mean, you know, Clowney is not the sack guy, but he's a disruptive guy and one of the top seven edge rushers in football, and he creates different things, but it wasn't the same as what Frank Clark created for him. And if that's the case, you know, I have to think the value's in the $8 to $9 million range and not in that $14 to $16 million range, and that means he probably will go.
Hey, John, do you know anything about this neck surgery that Leighton Van Der Esch is undergoing? That's pretty serious.
It's pretty serious, yeah. They don't think it's career-threatening, but certainly it's one that you have to worry about because, you know, any kind of thing with the neck is so dangerous that, you know, again, when the prognosis at the end of the season was positive that you have the surgery and all that, but I'd be concerned.
Okay, another one for you. NFL, NFLPA, they're holding a forum on CBD use for athletes. Now, I'm not a weed expert, but the CBD, and I know you are, John.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the CBD
I hire a landscaping firm to take the weeds out of my yard.
Okay, well, we're talking about a different kind here.
Okay, that one.
Yeah, so CBD is the non sort of hallucinogenic part of
yes.
it, or am I missing?
Doesn't have the psychoactive
yeah.
effect.
How long until the players get their weed?
I think we can weed this out as soon as they get the collective bargaining done within the next month. I mean,
I thought you were going to say they were going to smoke it out.
No, this, I mean, the problem is, I mean, there's not enough smoke to get the deal done now. In fact, the latest seems to be that, you know, it's starting to edge more towards keeping it the 16 games and the 17 games. But, you know, they've got to resolve that because I think right now the owners are still trying to hold to the 17 and that the players now are starting to resist and not caring about the extra revenue. But, you know, it seems like there's a deal to get done. And part of the deal to get done is going to loosen up the testing and different stuff on weed. And so, yeah, I mean, I know that, you know, if they get the deal done, it may not be done at 420, but it may be done at least, you know, they'll have a joint agreement.
Oh, look at John.
Nice.
Look at this. Rapid fire.
I would love it if they did that on 420, April 20th at 420.
No, they didn't. I'm talking about 420 time-wise. Not 420 is too late.
Oh, April 20th.
Eric Winston has to be, he'll be voted out as, because again, he can't come back because he didn't play last year as the executive director of the Players Association.
Last thing for you, John. Of the four teams left, Kansas City, Tennessee, San Francisco, and Green Bay, how would you rate their chances of winning the Super Bowl 1 through 4?
I'm leaning toward Kansas City 1, San Francisco 2, then I would go Tennessee 4, and Green Bay 3.
Mm. I'm going San Fran and everybody else below that.
Yeah, that's the way it feels.
San
that's the way
Fran
it looks.
Is yeah. winning.
Hey, quick. Watch out for the Titans, Professor.
Go to the bank.
Well, you were right on this past week.
Oh, you covered the spread.
Well, no, I had him to win.
You
game.
Didn't pick him to win.
I
you
picked
just
him
like
to
the
win.
Point
go
spread.
Back and check the tape.
You like
is it
the
tape
point
anymore?
Spread.
It's not tape anymore, is it?
It's not tape, but okay. It's recordings. Hey, quickly, is the new Browns head coach, Mr. Stefanski, said sky's the limit for Baker Mayfield. Is it? How do you see that marriage working? Do you think that was a good pick by the Browns?
Maybe. I mean, it's like the problem is going to be, of course, he had to explain that, you know, a story that came out of Cleveland wasn't true, that that as a head coach, he has to submit his game plan for approval by 2 p.m. on Friday afternoon to the owner and analytics guy, that, you know, an analytics guy has to be in communication with him during the game and have to have a 1-hour meeting on Monday to discuss what went right and what went wrong with the game. Apparently, that's not all true. But here's why you worry about this. Okay, so they get Stefanski, who, you know, is a good young coaching mind and all that stuff. We'll see he can be a good head coach. Who's going to go on that staff? I mean, you know, they've got, you know, different guys they want to have for the interviews for the GM job. George Payton's going to visit, but he's not going to take the job. They wanted to get Andrew Berry out of Philadelphia, and they blocked that. You know, Lloyd from Dodd from Indianapolis said no. And I think it's going to be the same thing with the coaches. I mean, why would you want – look, you want to pull a Steve Wilks and go there for a year and get fired in a year or two? I think they're going to have trouble getting assistant coaches.
Mm. All right, John. Good to talk to you. We will do it again tomorrow.
Yes, indeed. Thanks.
There you go. There's the Professor John Clayton with us every day at 4 o'clock. Coming up, do the Seahawks need to try to keep their offensive line together, or do they need to rework that as well? We'll talk about that next year with Bob David Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob David Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Who's this, DJ?
Black Keys.
I don't recognize this song for some reason. Do you, Jim? I know you do. This is on regular rotation in
Yeah, I don't recognize this song, and I do have a reason, because I just don't know. Like, you're shocked that you don't know the answer to the band, but
yeah.
I'm never...
You're not shocked.
No.
Okay. I have a reason. I don't know, because it sucks.
Yeah. But,
sorry, Black Keys DJ. Are a good band. I like them, but I just didn't recognize that particular tune.
I'm just giving DJ a hard time.
Hey, coming up
perfectly fine.
Coming up at the top of the hour, El Hombre Extended Edition, which will be happening until next football season. So rejoice, El Hombre fans. Every Tuesday at 5 o'clock, he'll join us.
I said text in if you don't like him or you don't think he's a big deal. We got one text.
Yeah. I hate that guy. That triggers them. But, yeah, I think 99.9% of our listeners will be happy to know he's doing a full 20-minute segment every Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Meanwhile, we asked the question, do you like this line, this O-line? Do you want to keep it together? Or do you feel like this is something that needs to be addressed? And I know Pete Carroll was asked about, I'm trying to find the cut here. I think he was of the mind that he'd like to see, here you go, he would like to kind of keep it together the way it is.
It is important. Yeah, I hope we can keep our guys connected here. You know, we got to. I don't want to see a big change there. you know, because we made good progress. We have really good young guys. The couple guys got banged up this year that, you know, you haven't seen a whole lot. Jordan Simmons and Knox, you know, those guys coming back into the competition will really be good. Jamarco did well. And, you know, yesterday to see Phillip play like that, too, that was really, really helpful for us going forward. So I think the whole group, it could be a really solid group coming back. And I'd like to see the guys that have been playing for us stay with us.
You didn't mention Posick in there, which I thought was Knox over Posick.
Yeah, Demetrius Knox.
Yeah.
Who, he got hurt in the preseason in Minnesota.
I wouldn't know him if he were standing next to me.
Yeah.
And he mentions him about Posick. But, I mean, aside from that, you look at it, I don't know that I agree with him. Because, A, I wasn't dazzled with Ifedi. I thought he was okay. I think he's just okay. I think he's a guy. I think he's, if he's part of your depth, awesome. If you have to rely on him, I don't think he's great. I don't know what he's going to warrant in terms of money. You know, he's not a guy I'd want to overpay for.
Do you think if he was that bad that they would have, wouldn't they have made a move during the season? Or do you think
the depth was
lacking at right tackle, they could have put Fant in there?
Yeah, they had so many other spots to fill, though. I think he's still a better option than what they had. But
I tend to think that Ifedi is probably better than what most Seahawks fans feel that he is. I mean, that's just my guess because he played every single snap this year. And it'll be interesting. He's a free agent to see what happens.
Yeah, I like
what kind of offers he's going to get and how much the Seahawks want to pay to have him back, if at all.
You want your potty back?
No. I mean, if it's $2 or $3 million a year maybe, but he's getting up there in age and you can't rely on him. He had the neck injury and he was limited at Arizona. So the last two or three
that was
years,
the knock on him
you're not
going
to get 16 games out of him. You might get 8 or 10, but that's the most you can expect for him. So I wouldn't expect him to come back.
What about Britt? He's got everybody talks about how much you could save by cutting him. You save X amount of dollars, but
I think he's important.
Yeah, I think he is too. As much as Joey Hunt, I really admired what he did and he held the four down. I don't think he's a dominant center by any stretch. I like him on the roster. I wouldn't want to get rid of him. I like him as depth as well. I want Britt back there.
Yeah, I hope they bring Joey back. He's a great guy to have on your offensive line. He can play any position, really. I mean, he could play tackle if you want, but he knows what to do anyway. And blocking is blocking, but you're facing a lot better athlete out there on the edge. So, yeah, we'll see. But I think Justin Britt's really important. Ifedi's going to be the interesting one. I wonder what happens there if he decides to go somewhere else or they decide to make him some kind of an offer. I don't know what's going to happen with him. But and it was that you that just said that, Jim? I think he's better than what people thought this year because
Ifedi?
Yeah, he had some dead ball fouls. And, you know, there was a couple of it wasn't an egregious amount of holding penalties. And I thought he did a pretty good job. So
you talked about guys that,
yeah, crossing his face.
Yeah,
he's tough to the inside. I think he can be beat inside, and that happened a couple of times. But I just think Solari has done wonders for these guys, and a guy like him, he's gotten a lot more confidence, and that's really what it's all about. But
what about Fant? Bob Condotta tweeted out: George Fant says his main goal in free agency is to find a place where he'll have a chance to be a starter, which doesn't seem to be here. Asked if that's Seattle, he said, we'll see.
Yeah, well, it just depends on what they decide to do next year as far as running the ball. And, you know, maybe they do try to move him back to right tackle. I really admire that about George Fant, that he wants to go and be a starter somewhere.
You think he's a better option at right tackle than Ifedi?
Not right now. I mean, maybe he can be. But I think he's a better athlete, that's for sure. But I don't think he's a better right tackle right now. But maybe if they think he can develop into that. I know, you know, look, he doesn't want to hang around and be the move guy or the extra offensive lineman that goes in the game. I guess there's something about that I really appreciate. But I know that, like, when Dwayne Brown was out and he had to fill in for him, they really felt like they lost a lot on their offense, not having George in there to be that extra guy in their run game. So yeah, and the run game was good this year, man. It was really good.
Except for the last two playoff games, it was atrocious.
Look at the running backs.
Well, that was going to be my question. Yeah. Is that the backs?
Oh, yeah.
Or is that the line? Because they were pass blocking well, but the running game was completely absent. Oh. Didn't exist in either game.
Yeah, but their whole running game got wiped out. I mean, you lost CJ Pro. I mean, Carson is a huge amount of that.
And that answers the Marshawn question, in my opinion, then. If we're saying that was completely on the backs and it wasn't about the line, what they were doing or not doing, if that's who those backs are, then there's no reason to bring Marshawn back. Sorry. completely ineffective these last two games.
Why are you saying sorry?
Because I know there are a lot of fans out there that want him back.
Yeah, but come on. He was just a fill-in, you know, when you really needed him. And it was cool to see Beast Mode again. And Dave, I think you've mentioned, though, that you wouldn't mind seeing him come back. But I think that's run its course. It reminded me a little bit of Ken Griffey Jr. You brought him back, and you got one good season out of him. The second season, not so much. And
didn't go well.
He hit it out in a truck, and we heard from him in Montana or whatever. But I wouldn't bring Marshawn back. I'd just get a younger guy in there. You got Homer, and we'll see how these two guys, Penny and Carson, how they do coming back from the injuries. It sounds like Carson's going to be okay. He doesn't need surgery for his hip injury. Penny is a little more problematic, but, you know, find another younger guy. Get McKissick back here from Detroit. I just would rather see a younger guy rather than Marshawn next year.
Yeah, what do you think?
I agree. It's a good thought and everything, but if Penny and Carson both come back healthy, that's your run game. And the whole run game went out the door when those guys got hurt. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a long time coming of, you know, those guys working together with that offensive line. And Jim knows, I think, you know, it's 75% on the backs in the run game. You know, if you have a guy that, you know, look at, I mean, nobody was talking about how great the offensive line was in 2013 with Marshawn Lynch.
Right.
So, you know, that's huge. So, yeah, as much as I think he brings a lot of spirit and everything, and a lot of guys were, you know, from what I understand, when he was giving that speech at the end, people were pushing forward to try to listen to what he had to say. And, you know, guy who'd had a glimpse on the outside, but, you know, being away from the game. But now, you know, you want to bring those two guys back. And it'll be interesting to see what Homer looks like coming back after gone through his rookie year.
Yep. I think you let Marshawn walk out on top. Everybody feels good about him. He had a couple of touchdowns and all that. But I'm with you. I don't want to see them sign him back. I'd rather have some youth, somebody with fresh leg. He's talking about a guy who's going to be 34 years old. I don't want to see that. All right, coming up, Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith had a funny way of describing trying to chase Russell Wilson around. We're going to sweep the dial next with Bob David Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
I feel like, man, that quarterback, Russell, man, he's a great quarterback. And he know how to scramble. He would have
every get out of the pocket, man. Hey, it definitely was a cardio test. Our cardio and our endurance got tested tonight.
Yeah.
We answered tests. We passed it. Did good.
What was the saying that you said? It was like chasing a chicken.
Oh, it was like chasing a chicken in the field with no fence. Go YouTube it.
That's Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith talking about chasing Russell Wilson.
Yeah, pretty tough to a chicken in a field with no fence. That's a good description there because I'm sure it's got to be frustrating for defensive linemen chasing that guy.
Especially it's probably even more frustrating because he can be caught. He's not. Yeah. Lamar Jackson blowing by you with speed, but he makes the right moves just enough to avoid danger, avoid the tackle, avoid the hit.
You know, yeah, that's the thing. I could do without Za'Darius Smith's celebrations, though.
The snubbed?
That was stupid. But if you look at a reel of his sacks this year, he does the crawl like a dog thing and then does all kinds of stuff after every single sack. You know, and I saw some celebration.
It's part of his brand.
Stuff that's going on. And, Jim, you're with me on this. Whatever happened to just handing the ball to the ref?
Oh, you know, there you go.
And going back to the huddle. Man.
You're so old and decrepit.
You make a big hit. I mean, I made a couple of hits where I was like, I got up and went, pumped my fist kind of. But I remember actually doing that one time and one of my teammates making fun of me. And I thought, I probably shouldn't be doing that, you know. But it just...
Everything is celebrated.
You make a good play like that and just go back to the huddle, that's kind of badass, right? You make a big hit.
Yeah.
And
I've done that a million times before.
Yeah, exactly. And the whole saying about, like, you've been there before makes it kind of seem like this is just business as usual for me.
Everything is celebrated, Dave. Everybody's got to celebrate, whether it's a tackle, whether it's a first down, whether it's a this, a that. There's some sort of...
Well, I think it's because they're going to get on social media and they're going to be on Twitter and somebody's going to take a picture of them or a video of them and put it out there and post it.
It's almost like every turnover now by the defense, if they get an interception or a fumble, they all run to the end zone and do a team photo.
Team photo, You guys are so old and lame. It's entertainment. It's so entertaining when George Kittle goes... I love that. That's so
like
cool.
He's making a
like he's shooting a free throw. That's cool. Do it again, George. Do it again. It's awesome.
But you'd like him if he was on your team.
No, I wouldn't like that. I think
you wouldn't.
I'd be like, it's so dumb. I mean, every first down, get up the little wrist thing. I'm like, look at me. I did it. I'm awesome.
George Kittle could do damn near anything he wanted if he was on the Seahawks, though. I
love his play. Yeah. That little celebration is lame.
You know, we're going to go back to it. We got a nice week. I got Kelly and my three boys with me.
Uh-huh.
We're probably going to get a ham sandwich or maybe some boudin or something, go to bed and wake up tomorrow and do it again.
Come on, Coach. A ham sandwich? You just won the national title. I haven't lost in 2 years, for God's sakes. You got to at least find a gas station that's got some chicken on a stick. Give me something, man.
We may find that, but it would be good. We're just simple folks. We love our life. I love my family. My personal time with them is going to be, we don't go out, we don't do things like that.
I got you.
We represent the state of Louisiana, so we're excited.
I want Ed Orgeron to do Books on Tape. I would listen.
Once upon a time, I had a ham sandwich. I stopped by a gas station.
Can anyone not love him?
Do you hear what he's saying there? I mean, the tone of voice is awesome, but he's talking about going home and spending time with his family and not going out, and I'm not going to...
Having a ham sandwich.
Yeah, I don't think that is what comes through as much to me as what he's saying, man. I represent the state of Louisiana. I mean, this is a good dude. I wouldn't mind hearing the other coach either. Dabo Sweeney. He's fantastic. Coach, yeah. That guy's got...
They're both likable.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell why their players love him. But
Orgeron, doesn't he look like... Typically, you'll hear somebody's voice if you don't see him, and you go, the voice doesn't really match the way they look. His voice matches way he looks.
He looks like he's in pretty good shape, man. That dude looks like
a thick dude.
He works out. Yeah.
I just love hearing him talk. I don't really care what he's saying.
I love that he was interim head coach at USC, and they decided they didn't want Ed Orgeron, and then he goes on to win the national title back in his home state. And I can't get enough of that guy. It's just, I mean, he's WWE on the football field.
Well, and you can see why his players love him, because saying things like that, you know, talking about spending time with his family and everything, I just think after a big win like that, I mean, you can see what's important to him, and that's why his players love him.
Really, he's drinking behind the bar? Is that cool?
I'm from 2-3. They call me Big 2-3.
I mean, his freestyle was just weak. Not only that, he done put them dirty-ass butt cheeks all on the bar.
Everybody's got to hold up their own. Everybody's got to freaking deliver. As a team, we lose.
Hey, you might have been all right coach in the league. You got me ready to go and bust some heads right now.
I want to go. Let's go and talk to them.
So how many times do you walk by this and not pick up anything?
You wait till they finish.
I don't understand it. What do you do here?
So I'm the only person in here. I'm not a server. I'm a bartender.
You know, the more you talk, the more of an idiot you sound like. You walk by it and didn't
do it. Stop here.
Check me out, though, cuz. The whole point of all this, why he's telling you what he's telling you is, that's coming out of my pocket.
It's hard to tell what was happening at the end of that, but apparently that's an episode of Bar Rescue. Coming out March 1st, Marshawn Lynch, he's got a place named Rob Ben's in California.
Emeryville, California.
Yeah, and apparently he's losing money, so he's being featured in an episode of Bar Rescue.
Yeah, well
talk about
should I have heard of Bar Rescue? I suppose I have. I'm seeing it's in season 6. Never heard of it.
I've heard of it. I've seen I've never watched an episode, but I've seen commercials for it. That one I'd probably watch.
If I'm trying to rescue this bar of Marshawn's, I'm just saying, hey, make more personal appearances. That would probably help. That'd be number one on my list. And we'll see. I was just reading the menu, though. There's a beast mode platter there. For $85, you can get 10 wings, 6 pieces of fish, 6 oysters, 4 pork chops, and 5 sides.
How much?
They're Rob Ben's. 85.
85 bucks?
Yeah, for all of that.
Yeah, it's a good amount. He's entertaining.
Yeah.
To listen to.
Who was it? So was that his bartender rapping or freestyling in the beginning?
Maybe it was the bar rescuer guy.
No, I don't.
John
think it
Taffer.
Was I don't think that.
No,
was
yeah, they were watching a bartender goof off. They do hidden cameras on that show, so they can see what the employees are doing when they're.
Do you watch the show?
No, I've seen like one or two episodes of it in the
DJ,
past.
You watch it?
No, I'm more of a Kitchen Nightmares person. Not the show.
I didn't know it was an either or. Maybe you watch them both. I don't know
what I've watched 3 of? Garage Restoration. Never seen that.
Never even heard of it.
No.
They go and restore garages.
No, these people that do like it was on the plane too. They have like a auto body shop or something like that.
These guys go in and put these lifts in and organize all their stuff. And
Boy, there's a show for everything, isn't
there? There is.
I like the one where people go and buy storage units, you know, and they get whatever's inside because
What is that one? Storage Wars. What is it?
Storage Wars.
Storage Wars. Right.
Here, I want your junk.
Yeah, I'm wondering how much of this is this bar where they're yelling and all that. How much of that is producers going, okay, guys, here's where you get mad. Like it's a script. Do you think this is all organic or they're being prompted?
It's supposed to be organic.
I think most of those reality shows, the producers amp stuff up nowadays.
Yeah. All right. Well, that one will be interesting. Anyway. Well, I'd like to hear Ed Ogeron on that show, too.
So would I. How about him and Marshawn having a conversation?
That would be awesome. I'm not sure what you're saying, Marshawn. All right, coming up, a full-size segment, a king-size edition of El Hombre. It starts today, and it's coming up next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.